The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
Hilchos Shabbos, Siman Peik, Tzas Mimalachos Hasuris B'Shabbos. Some of the forbidden acts that may not be performed on Shabbos. We're in the middle of the Siman, getting close to the end. Sif Samachay. Mutar Loimel HaChaver, it's permitted to say to your friend, Malei Li Kli Zeh, fill up for me this utensil, this vessel. Afilu Hu Miyuchad L'Midah, even if it is a designated measuring cup, you bring along a measuring cup and you ask your friend, borrow or some type of liquid, or a solid item, and you need a certain, you could say, fill up this cup for me, even though you know exactly how much you're going to get. It's exactly the measure of a cup, two cups, whatever the measure is. It's still permissible since you didn't mention the measurement. You just said, fill up the cup. Even if the cup belongs to the vessel, belongs to the seller, and here you're going to buy, you're going to your friend who it's going to sell you something, you're not going to mention the word purchase, you're not going to mention any money. But it's understood that you're going to pay him after Shabbos. And you go over and you ask him to fill up a cup of whatever it is. So it's permitted even though the vessel belongs to the seller. Basically, it's provided that the buyer takes the vessel home with him. Because in this case, it doesn't look like you're measuring. You're filling up the utensil. You're pouring into it and that's it. If the seller has his own measuring cup, he measures with the measuring cup, fills up the measuring cup, and then pours it into the utensil of the buyer. So then it looks like there's a measurement going on here. I'm measuring how much to give you, and then I'm pouring it into your vessel in order to give it to you. But if I just fill up my own vessel and then give it to you, and you take it home and use it, so I'm lending you the vessel. You don't have to have the container with you. I'm lending you this particular container. Happens to be this container, we know how much, what volume of liquid it holds. And it's even something which is designated, it's an official designated measuring cup. Still, since I don't mention anything about measurement, and you're just taking it home with you, it looks like you just needed a container to hold your stuff, and it's permitted. And certainly, maybe if the buyer brings his own vessel, Vayman, he says to the seller, Malinli Kliza, fill up for me this vessel. Tivade Mutter, it's certainly permitted. But to measure with an official measuring cup of the seller, and then to pour it into the vessel, the container of the purchaser, also that is forbidden because that looks like measuring, and measuring is forbidden. Measuring is forbidden because it's an uvda d'chol. It's a weekday type of activity, and therefore it's not permitted. And there's an additional problem with measuring, and that is that it's mekach u'memkar. It's business on Shabbos, so it looks like you're doing business. And doing business on Shabbos is forbidden because, first of all, you may come to write, as a standard practice in business. You write down the transaction, whether you owe the money, or other elements of the transaction, aspects of the transaction. Alternatively, it's very possible when you're in the middle of doing business to come to other malachas, other forbidden acts, such as cutting to size, which is a malacha of mechatech, and therefore it's forbidden to do business on Shabbos as well as to measure, unless it's for the purposes of a mitzvah. For a mitzvah purpose, it is permitted to measure, but otherwise it's forbidden to measure. Can we have these two reasons? So if what you're doing over here is you are doing something that looks like a regular, normal activity, or could be even not in the context of buying and selling, you just fill up a utensil, or just fill up a container. So that's permitted, even though your intent here is to purchase this quantity of liquid, let's say. Still, it's permitted because you didn't express it in the context of a sale, and you didn't do it, you didn't perform it in the way in which it looks like you're trying to do the act of measuring, as opposed to if the seller measures in his own measuring cup and then pours it into the purchaser's utensils, which is exactly the way you normally do it. During the week, it looks like you're doing business, and it's measuring, and it's a problem. It's forbidden, rabbinically prohibited on Shabbos. continues the Kitzer. You're also allowed to say to your friend, please give me 50 nuts. Again, we're talking about you're going to your friend, he's going to sell it to you. But you don't express it in terms of a sale. You don't say to him, please sell me 50 nuts. Hey, can you give me 50 nuts? Etc. Or something similar. And even though you said a number, since you didn't mention a sale, just understood that you're going to pay him afterwards, that's okay. Although that, and provided, you don't mention a measurement, and not money. If you mention a measurement, if you mention money, then it sounds like it's a purchase. But if you just mention a number, so it doesn't sound like a purchase, it doesn't look like a purchase, and is not forbidden under the heading, under the prohibition of Mekach HaMemkri, which is doing business on Shabbos. Again, and additionally, but you're not allowed to make a calculation, to say, you already have in my hand the 50 nuts, meaning I already owe you 50 nuts. Give me another 50 of you, and then I'll owe you 100. So once you put them together and you make such a calculation, that's forbidden because it's not necessary and looks more like business. And therefore it's forbidden, again, under the heading of the prohibition of doing business on Shabbos. And the Kalshkin, certainly, you certainly shouldn't mention the word, the language of sale. Shouldn't call it a sale or any such language like that. Even though you don't express, you don't stipulate a price, you don't fix a price, you just say, sell me 50 nuts, and you take the nuts and you go home with them. That's certainly forbidden because you mention the word sale. You have to just say, give me, and it'll be understood between the two of you that it's a sale, and you're going to pay him after Shabbos. But feel it's sale Shabbos, even if it's for the needs of Shabbos, you need it to eat on Shabbos. You need the food for Shabbos. Even through the agency of a non-Jew, also like this for Shabbos, you're not allowed to make a purchase on Shabbos if it's done in the forbidden fashion. You can make the purchase if you don't express it as a purchase, as we mentioned until now. You could ask him to give it to you, etc., but to actually say, I want to buy it, that's forbidden. And the same thing applies to renting something. Then you're not allowed to rent something on Shabbos, even if it's for the purpose, even if you need it for Shabbos, and even if it's through the agency of a non-Jew. And we discussed earlier in the Kitzer, even if you give the money to the non-Jew before Shabbos, but you specifically instruct him to make the purchase on Shabbos, or even if you didn't specifically instruct him to make the purchase on Shabbos, but you gave him instructions in such a way where he was forced, he was clear that he's going to have to do the business on Shabbos, so that also would be forbidden. Sif Salachvav. Motu Lamer Lachaveri is permitted to tell your friend, Malin Li Kliza, fill up this vessel, this container, Vaitain Li Kitmbayat Arashim, or give it to me until the mark, until this mark. Well, Machar Nimdad, and tomorrow we'll measure it. We'll weigh it. And that's forbidden. That's permitted to do. And even though you're mentioning specifically that tomorrow you're going to weigh it or measure it, and maybe this should be forbidden because since you're not allowed to measure on Shabbos, you shouldn't mention you're going to measure tomorrow. So Mr. Brewer says he's not 100% sure why this is permitted, but maybe because it's Tzarech HaShabbos, you need it for Shabbos. And as we'll be talking about, let's say you needed to buy wine or grape juice from your friend. So you say, I can fill up this container. I don't know exactly how much it is. Fill it up for me, please, and we'll measure it after Shabbos. And since you need the wine for Shabbos use, so the Rabbanon were makel, they were lenient in this case, and they permitted you to do so. According to this, it should come out that if you're doing it, there's no real Shabbos purpose. You don't really need it for Shabbos. It should be forbidden to mention this idea that we'll measure it or we'll weigh it after Shabbos. However, Shlomo Salman Orbach, that's how he permitted such a thing, being that this activity of measuring is not such a serious prohibition, because we find that the rabbis permitted it in the case of a mitzvah. So it sometimes is permitted. So therefore, also, as long as you're not actually measuring on Shabbos, to mention that you can measure it, you're going to measure it tomorrow, that would be okay. It would not be a problem, even if it's not such a big tzarech, there's not such a great need on Shabbos for you to say that. Sif Samal Zayin. K'shem she'osel ma'asais, afilo binin arvai b'shabbos, just like you're not allowed to build even a temporary building, a temporary structure on Shabbos, kach osel ma'hoisef al binin kavua, so too you're not allowed to make an addition onto a permanent structure, afilo tosefes arvai, even if the addition is only temporary. So if you have a house, which is a permanent structure, to make a temporary addition onto the house is going to be forbidden. And therefore, he's going to talk about a few areas where this issue comes up. So, therefore, Pesach she'inei also l'knisa v'yetziyat tavim. If you have a doorway, which is not made for frequent entrance and exit, and the Shabura brings down, that means you don't use it within 30 days. It's very infrequently used. You use it very infrequently, less than 30 days. 30 days can go by easily without you using this doorway. And Litzim Yochag is only very distant times, meaning times are very far apart from each other. So then, if you made for this doorway, this opening, a door which does not turn around on hinges, and he explains in the parentheses, Sir who ate a bezel, a hinge, is a piece of wood, a stick of wood or metal, habayim min hadelas, which sticks out of the top and bottom of the door. That you insert this stick in the bottom, in the hole, in the door sill, in the floor of the doorway. And up above, in the lintel, on the top of the door, there's a hole in there corresponding. And you stick the pegs in the top and the bottom. So the door should be able to turn, pivot, this way or that way. So who I did, the master and I give him the master and Wasaka and Sadawasa is the angling, which is a regular hinge. So this that we have the custom in our countries, which is certainly the way we do it nowadays, to fix the doors with what we call hinges. That certainly is, would be fine, and you would be allowed to open and close the door. And if you had such a door with hinges, there would be no problem, even though the doorway is not used frequently at all, but it's built in a way which is made to open and close. And therefore, it's permitted to open it and close it, and it does not look at all as if you are adding to the structure. However, if the door does not have hinges, it doesn't turn on its hinges. Rather, you tied it there to the doorway. The tala sham, and you suspended it there, linoba, in order to lock or close up the entrance or the doorway. If there is a hinge on this door, not in use, but there is a hinge on the door. If it doesn't right now have a hinge, it used to have a hinge, and the hinge broke. But its place is recognizable. You could tell that you could see the spot where the hinge used to be. For example, in modern day application, might be you could see where the holes were drilled for the hinge, and the paint is marred over there, or it's not even painted over there. So there's the shape of the hinge that used to be screwed into the door. Or any way in which you could tell that the hinge used to be there. Mutan linoba of the Shabbos, you're allowed to close the opening with this door on Shabbos. Why? Because it doesn't look like you're adding to the structure. It's clear that the way this door is made, that it's a door. It's made to be open and closed, even though you don't use this too often. And this could go for weeks, many days, a month without being opened at all. Still, since you see there is a hinge on the door, it's obvious this is made to be opened and closed, and it doesn't look like you're adding to the structure. It does not look like you're being binder that you're building on Shabbos. And even if this door is made in a manner that when you open the door, it drags on the ground, it doesn't remain suspended in midair. And when you close it, you have to lift it up above the stoop, above the door sill. And you put it on top of the bottom ledge of the door sill, or the stoop. Mikomaka still is permissible to Kevan Shihikshuro Tliya, since it is hanging and suspended, meaning it's tied to the doorway. The Gamish Pekatir also has a recognizable hinge, or at least a recognizable spot that used to be a hinge there. Nicker, it's clear through Dallas Asil and Elo Psycho that this is a door which is made for closing and opening. Then in Yerikibain, it does not appear, it does not look like you are building, you're adding to the structure, it doesn't look like you're sealing up the hole or that you're breaking the wall down, and therefore it's permitted. On the Koshkin, certainly in the Eshel HaDayan Sif, it certainly has the hinge still on it, it's just not being used, that it's not turning on its hinge, but the hinge is actually there. Well, that is provided shlo yachzir satzil mikaimai, and that you're not allowed to put the hinge back in place to bezeh avodah, because that would indeed be considered building, meaning if the hinge had popped out, so to replace the door on its hinges, let's say in one example, if you have the pegs sticking out of the top and bottom of the door, to put those pegs in their respective holes in the top and bottom of the doorway would be forbidden. Or for example, a more modern day application, if the pin came out of the hinges and you want to put the hinges together and put the pin back in, so that is building, you're building the door onto the structure, and that would be forbidden. Sif samaches, avolamein lo heker tzir. But if the door does not have a spot which is recognizable that there used to be a hinge over there, either never had a hinge or it had a hinge, but you can't tell that the hinge used to be there. Also, in Linol Bavish Shabbos, you're not allowed to close the opening with this door on Shabbos. The Kivin Shab Pesach Eino Yosuli Paseach El Alitim Rechaker. Since this opening is not made to be opened, this door is not made to be opened except at distant times, meaning on rare occasions, you don't open it too often. So it's not readily apparent it's made to be open and closed, because you can leave it closed for very long stretches of time. Plus, the Hadelas Ein Nikeres Kedelas, and the door doesn't look like a door because it doesn't have hinges on it, and you can't tell there are any hinges on it. Nearis Hani'in Lekamaybinin, then closing up this space looks like you're building. And therefore, it's forbidden to put the door in the hole, in the entranceway, because it looks like you are building, like you're adding to the wall, and sealing off the opening in the wall. However, if it's tied to the doorway and suspended well, in a manner, even when it will be opened, it's not dragging on the ground, so that's tied up, so that when you actually remove it from the entranceway, it's still suspended in midair. Even if it's only a hair's breadth above the floor, above the ground, it's recognizable, is clearly obvious, that it's a door, and you're allowed to close the doorway with it, even though it does not have a heker tzir, even though you can't tell there are any hinges on it. It's still permissible, because if this wasn't a door, why would it be hanging from the doorway? It's only if it's not suspended, and it drags on the ground, so then it looks like a board. It's not readily apparent that it's tied to the doorway, and it's intended to be a door. It just looks like you're taking some wood and you're stopping up the hole, which is a problem of binyan, it's a problem of building, and therefore it is forbidden because it looks like you are building, you're adding onto the structure. Sif samach tes. Emeinu k'shuro tzluya klal. If the door is not tied or suspended at all, it's just a door that you lean up against the hole and you properly fit it into the hole in the wall. And when you open it up, you slip it away totally, you remove it totally. Also, you're not allowed to close up this hole, the doorway, with it, in any manner whatsoever, in any situation. If the doorway is one which is not made to be used for entrance or egress, for entering and exiting, on a constant basis, which again means, not so constant, it just means more than, it remains closed for more than 30 days or more at a time. So then you can't close it, because even though it has hinges, but since it's not at all tied to the door, you just remove it. It doesn't look like a door. It's not made to be a door for this doorway, because it's not connected to the doorway, and therefore you're not allowed to put it in the entranceway. Now, Pesach also needs to be tied there. However, if you have a doorway which is made to go in and out frequently, then mutalinoba, then you're allowed to close the doorway with this type of door, a feeling the heck it's here, even if it's not, it doesn't look like a door. There's no hinges on it, it's not tied to the door at all, but since you go in and out of this doorway all the time, so then clearly this is a door, and it's made to be open and closed, and even though the door by itself doesn't look like too much of a door, looks like some pieces of board nailed together, and it's not connected at all to the doorway, but it's obvious that this is made to be a door to be opened and closed, because everyone knows that this entrance is used on a regular basis, and therefore it's okay, it doesn't look like you're adding to the structure. Just to reiterate, this whole thing is a question of what it looks like. You're certainly not building, because your intent is not to build it. The intent is just to close it and leave it there temporarily, but since it's made, if it would be made to be closed on a long-term basis, then it looks like adding on to the building, to the structure, and it's a problem. Continues the Kitzer, Sifayin. If you have a door which is made of one board, it's not a bunch of boards nailed together or connected together somehow, which is one big board, it's one big piece of plywood. You're not allowed to close up an entrance which is not made for regular access, for regular entering and exiting, because it does not look like a door at all. At least if it's made out of a number of boards, it looks like a door. Even if it doesn't have a hinge on it, at least it looks like a door. But this, just it's a piece of wood. It doesn't look like a door at all. It really just looks like you're boarding up the hole, and therefore it's forbidden unless it's a door which is made for constant entry and exiting, as you're going to say soon, that's going to be permitted. Even if this board has a hinge, it may not say there is if it's right now, it does not turn on its hinge, and the hinges are not connected. So that's a problem. You're not allowed to close up the door. The Kevin Shein Elam Miluach Echad, since it's only made out of one board, the Enasev Eves Al Tziran doesn't turn on its hinges. Nira Kibayin looks like you're building. Besides him, and you're sealing up, Makam HaPasul, the opening, the place which is open in the wall, and therefore it's forbidden because it looks like building. However, the Pesach HaAsuk Nisiv Yitzir Tadir, if this entrance is one which is in constant use, you go in and out on a frequent basis, you could be lenient and you could close the door even with a board made out of one board. And certainly our doors, which look like a door, they're made to look like a door, even if they're actually one piece of wood, but they're shaped like a door, everyone can tell this is a door. Certainly in that case we could be lenient and you could close up the entrance with it. The Dafka Shesha Eskufa, so specifically if there's an Eskufa, there's a door cell sitting on the bottom of the door of the doorway, piece which raises up and comes up above the ground level. The Nikash Upesa then looks like it's a doorway. If however the bottom of the doorway is the regular ground level, even with the level of the ground of the house or the outside, and the outside, then it doesn't look like a door at all, just like there's a hole in the wall. And since it just looks like a hole in the wall, even though it's made for entering and exiting on a regular basis, still it's forbidden to put this single board in front of the doorway because it looks like you are sealing up the hole. Sif ayin aleph pekakach alayim, something used to stop up a window. Kigan luach, for example, a board, a shark called up, or anything else, just place them based on line that you stop up a window, you seal the window. You put a shutters on top or something which will close up the window. You're allowed to close the window with it. If it's not tied to the window. That's provided that you already use this item once to close up the window before Shabbos. You had in mind, you intended to use it before Shabbos to seal up the window. If you never sealed intent, you never used it to close up this hole. Again, like Chishev, you also didn't intend to use this item to close up the hole. Also, listen by the Shabbos, you're not allowed to close up the hole with this item on Shabbos. If it is something which is the normal to leave it there permanently, Shehesham was not arach for us for a long time, that if it's a type of item which may be left there for a long time, then you're not allowed to use it if you didn't intend to use it in advance. But if it's a type of item which is not the normal way or normal manner of use to leave it there for a long time, that was my cause, only for a short period of time. For example, a garment or something similar. Remember, in those days, most of the windows did not have glass. The window was just an empty hole in the wall. And you used to stuff up the window with something. So you use a garment or some type of cloth. It's unlikely you leave it there for an extended period of time, as opposed to a board, where it's common to leave boards, board up a window for an extended period of time. So if you're using a garment or something like that, you're allowed to seal it off, close up the hole, under all circumstances. Now, the reason you have to either use it before or have in mind, as before, there are two reasons in the Rishonim, in the earlier commentators. One is because of a mukzah problem. And that if we're dealing with a type of thing which is not inherently a kli, it's not something which has a normal use, just a piece of board, if you don't intend to use it before Shabbos, it's going to be mukzah. You're not going to be allowed to move it. And based on that reason, as long as it's you intended to use it for some purpose, even if it wasn't intended to use to stop up your window, you intend to use it as a plate or something like that, or to prop up your svarim or whatever you want to use it for, then it'll be permitted to use it to seal up your window because it's not mutzah. It has an intended use. But there's another reason that it looks like you're adding to the building. It looks like you're adding to the structure. If you take something that you didn't intend to use to seal up the hole, and you never sealed up the hole before using this item, so it looks like you're adding to the structure, similar to we had in the previous sifim about the door, the hole in the wall, that you're putting the door there. It looks like you're adding to the structure, so too here it looks like you're adding to the structure, and therefore will be a problem even if it's not mukzah. In this step, the Kitzur is talking about that if it's not made to be there permanently, it's permitted, so that's because it doesn't look like you're adding to the structure. However, you would still have an issue of mukzah if this was a mukzah item. It was a type of thing which, for some reason, was mukzah, but it wasn't made to. It was not the type of item which normally is made to be there for a long time. Then you'd still not be allowed to put it in the window sill because it's mukzah and may not be moved. It's only the combination of the fact that it's not mukzah, and most things that you would want to remove in the near future are not mukzah, such as a garment or cloth. It's not mukzah, and you're probably going to remove it. So that combination of not being mukzah and you're intending to remove it, so it permits you to use it even if you didn't have intentions to use it to close up your window before Shabbos, so you have never yet used it to close up your window in the past.